Well, I'm really glad that you transformed the possibility of worshiping here this morning into a reality. Think for a moment how that came to be. How possible did it appear 40 years ago? That's just over 7 years before our founders held their first worship service in the Berninghausen's living room in Cornwall. How possible was it that you would be here this morning 4 years ago? Was it just a hazy possibility 4 weeks ago? Whatever you've been thinking, I'll wager you're selling short how awesome your answers could be. I haven't given you enough time to sit with these questions. The whole concept of possibility is something we aren't used to thinking about in any organized way. It's strange, really, when you think about how bound up our possibilities are with happiness. Possibility is so intimately connected to hope that the two words are often used interchangeably. We also know our connection to a highly developed imagination of possibilities can be deeply neurotic, as Connie so hilariously reminded us in Pack Rat Blues. I want to say a little bit more about that. I've never met anyone who's immune to hanging on to too much stuff because of the possibilities that it might be useful in the future. My home office sometimes looked more like a prop storage room, maybe for the town hall theater, than a minister's workspace. Maybe there should be a word for the skill of looking at someone's desk and figuring out who they really are from what's sitting there. But I warn you, that's a tricky proposition. So, you know, this has been on my desk for months. I don't even know what you call it. I think it was in my grandmother's house in New Hampshire, and I'm not quite sure how it ended up on my desk, but I don't know what to do with it. I tried rubbing it, Carl. I tried rubbing it. It didn't help the Giants at all. This is a genuine Y2K stuffed bug. Now, looking at it, it wouldn't mean much to you if you hadn't known that covering Y2K was what I did for 2 years at the Times. This is a CD of Despacito, which Jordan Young recorded for me to use in a service a long time ago. I don't remember when. It's been sitting on my desk ever since. Here's a whole collection of tickets that we drew for people who came to our solstice party 2 weeks ago. They've been on my desk for 2 weeks since. There is no conceivable use for them other than to mention them during a sermon. And I won't go on, it's a big bag, but you get the idea. What I'm trying to say is that possibility has such a promising feeling to it that we often overlook its downsides. To say that we are a people of possibility is, if we are honest, to say that we are probably hanging on to some things that should go. They're more likely to be obscuring rather than enabling paths to a brighter future for CVU US. I'll come back to that possibility that possibility is getting in our way, but let's look at the bright side first. Possibility is an invitation to playful contemplation. I tried to model that in my word game message to you in the monthly newsletter. I don't know how many of you looked at it, but you know, it had made up proverbs like possibility ain't what it used to be, and a prayer that we become possibility teachers and possibility reachers. It's a game. Possibilities come to fruition, stir us to praise and celebrate, as I hope you heard in Caitlin's poem, and to create a fellowship, as I hope you'll all see in the Radical Love Party next Sunday. Possibility calls for bold dreams, hard work, and high hopes, all of which are becoming real in the new fellowship hall, kitchen, and other facilities under construction beneath this sanctuary. And new possibilities challenge us to constantly rethink how we're doing what we're doing. For instance, how we're doing justice work. And that's currently visible in our plans this year on Martin Luther King Day on Monday. Instead of having a service here, of going to Rutland to join with that city's new NAACP chapter in their program to be allies rather than doing it on our own here in this white enclave. So working on this sermon, I've become deeply grateful that the worship team selected this month to ask, what does it mean to be a people of possibility? Now, one thing it doesn't mean is that we refuse to see anything as impossible. I know there's quotes out there on the internet that says nothing is impossible, it's just not arrived yet. There's some things impossible, but we don't gather for impossibility. That would be boring and it would be misguided because much of what we historically have called impossible has yielded to advancing technology. And a lot of what we once deemed as both illegal and socially impossible, like, for instance, the election of an African-American president of the United States, has come to pass. Arthur C. Clarke, the science fiction writer, once said that when a distinguished scientist tells you something is possible, that scientist is probably right. If the scientist says something is impossible, they are probably wrong. On another occasion, he said, new ideas pass through three periods. It can't be done. It probably can be done, but it's not worth doing. And I knew it was a good idea all along. Now, I don't want to be too lighthearted about this because the scientist saying it's impossible for you to fly is correctly describing your situation at this moment in this room. 2 hours from now, you may be leaving Burlington Airport on an airplane, but now you cannot fly. If something is doable but impossible when and where it's needed, the consequences can literally be life and death. The person who needs their heartbeat revived by a defibrillator during sudden cardiac arrest is almost certain to die if there is no way to get that device to them within a few minutes. But almost everything seen as impossible is based on our past experience. We know you need that defibrillator there in a few minutes because we've seen lots of people die when it didn't get there. Possibility, as opposed to impossibility, looks forward and judges certain circumstances more hopefully. To say we are a people of possibility at CVUUS is to say that what matters most about us is that whatever future we pursue as a congregation is who we'll become. We are known today not for what we found impossible in the past, but what we proved was possible by looking forward to this future. We will be known 5 years from now from the possibilities we are currently seeking to make actual. Because we look to the future, the most meaningful antonym to possibility from a UU perspective is not impossibility, but certainty. Little side moment for history. The Puritan Calvinists, against whom the Unitarians rebelled about the time of the American Revolution, taught that no humans could ever be good enough to win future salvation. Heaven was predestined for some and strictly a matter of God's mercy. The Unitarians rejected that bleak doctrine. They believed your choice make a difference to a loving God that they found in the Bible. You want to get to heaven? Focus on all those virtues that Paul named in his letter to the Philippians. Our Universalist forebears got to the same place in a different way. They argued that because God loved humanity and was all-powerful, everyone was going to end up in heaven. That was a certainty, not a possibility to them. What was possible, though, was that their lives on earth would be happier if they lived as Jesus preached that they should. And so they heard Paul's guidance to the Philippians very similarly to the Unitarians. And it's still there in our hymnal as one of our readings, that epistle. I mention these old theological disputes about the afterlife because they remind us that our forebearers cared about two questions that I hope are still alive and kicking for all of you. First, how much control do we have over what we perceive as possibilities? And second, how much control do we have over which ones of those possibilities become our realities? Now, I love the Naomi Shihab Nye poem, Burning the Old Year, for its very positive outlook on these questions. The letters swallow themselves in seconds, and everything else burns sizzling like moth wings, and it marries the air. They marry the air. That is, most of the landscape of possibilities can be converted into ashes that float away from our field of vision. And she continues, so much of any year is flammable, so little is stone. Where there was something and suddenly isn't, our absence shouts, celebrates, and leaves a space. That's so interesting, that destruction of all the possibilities raised by that past celebrates and leaves a space. But this, it turns out, is not just great poetry, it's great science. The universe as we know it, including life on Earth, is not the outcome of processes intended to create possibilities. Instead, changing conditions eliminate or decrease the odds for other possibilities to the point where something previously extremely unlikely is able to emerge. Consider this simple example. There are zillions more sounds and arrangements of them that humans and other living things can make than we use in English or any other language. Only by eliminating most potential ways of communicating did actual languages that we could use emerge. Only by eliminating countless ways that chemicals could combine did life emerge. The science of emergence is as awesome as any story of God creating the universe and humans in God's image, but it is intensely geeky. So at the risk of disappointing our science nerds, I want to conclude by suggesting that the ancient Chinese gave us a much more accessible metaphor for thinking about possibility than emergence. Because you are a perceptive congregation, you all know from the sermon title that I'm referring to Taoism. Many of you have heard the concept yin and yang, that it lies at the heart of that tradition. Now, I'm not an expert on Taoist spirituality, which is ancient and complicated. So I'm probably oversimplifying and missing part of what is great about it to those of you who know more than I do. But I want to focus on its teaching that all existence is composed of aspects of nature and spirit that look to be opposite, but are actually interconnected and interdependent. Yin, for example, is often associated with characteristics like darkness, the female, water, quiet, flexibility. Yang is often associated with light, the male, noise, boldness, energy. Possibility lines up with the common yin characteristics, and certainty with yang. But here's the main point. I also have a little illustration to help, and it's also small like Caitlin's. But most of you have seen this, and I think can see it from where you are in the room. There's a dark yang dot within the yin circle, and there's a light dot within the dark circle. And in the theology of yin and yang, these are not static the way they appear in this image. The dots are expanding or contracting, and in some images, you actually see the white dot expands so large that this flips into being the white side of the balance, and the dark is meanwhile expanding, and this flips into being the dark side. All still within the circle of creation, but all this interdependence and change. And sometimes these circles are imbalanced. You can have more of one than the other, but it's still all within the circle of existence. Now, I hope that we think of our possibilities as constantly in flux this way, invaded at times by increasing or even overwhelming certainty. That old Christian favoritism towards certainty should not take root easily in this sanctuary, but there are some things we could and should be certain about as we work on our possibilities. Things like our commitment to anti-racism work. And let us also be certain that everyone everyone is in some kind of pain, no matter how much they may resent it. Let that call us to compassion and empathy. Now, I hope that newcomers to this sanctuary will always say, wow, when they look around at the possibilities they see at CVU US. And I can imagine the old Unitarians and Universalists cheering us on. They'd be urging us to have faith in that all-powerful, loving God guiding us towards our best possibilities. And I commend that faith to those of us who can embrace it. Those of us who can't shouldn't shy away from speaking the old formulations and singing the old hymns from time to time. We should avoid certainty that they have nothing helpful to say to us. I have been clear with you, though, since you called me to be your minister, that I don't end up feeling faith in such an almighty God when I worship. My faith is in the spirit of life, a love with a capital L, that did not create and does not rule the universe. But it is emerging through us and other intelligent life forms into the future of the universe. There's lots of possibilities to live lives of meaning and integrity in either approach to the sacred, this emergent God or the traditional God. And I know many of you have other alternatives that work better for you involving no God or many gods or changing gods. A rich array of visions of the sacred and our relationship to it make for many, many possibilities that ain't what they used to be. And may it always be so here in this sanctuary for Champlain Valley Unitarian Universalists. Let's sing a New Year's hymn, The Ceaseless Flow of Endless Time.